You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Getting drunk at this bar, and this is the first time I'm using the toilet. This is the second time I'm using the toilet. This is the third time I'm using the bathroom here at the bar. This is the second time I'm using the toilet. This is a great bathroom on Tacone. I'm gonna go tell the department that it was right where I wanted it.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's a beautiful network. It's Wednesday, December 15th. Happy Survivor Finale Day. I'm J.E. Skeets. And alongside me, as always, we got Tass Mellis.
What's up, fellow networkies?
Hey, Tassie. We got my Top Shot Hot Boy. He's dipped into his secondary pants. It's Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey-yo.
Yo. International Man of Mystery, taking it to the Max Lielis.
Friends.
Last but not least, making the magic happen, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. I think it was that cold open that got us all a little zany here to start the show. I liked it. Shout out to the stream team. Hello, stream team. Thanks for joining us live on YouTube. Take a second. Like the video. Just do it. Fuck. It's one click.
Get over yourself and like the video.
We barely ask for anything. We give you 90 minutes every day. We talk to each other here on the internet every day. Just like the video. Subscribe. A lot of you have already, so thank you. If you haven't, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube and share the show. That helps us out too. Email your NBA questions in to nodunks@theathletic.com. NBA questions, non-NBA questions. We'll take them all. And follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at No Dunks Inc. That's INC at the end. Okay. We will hit the beach later because we did get some great cues. Tassie, you put a couple in the dock that we'll tackle today. So thanks to everybody that keeps sending them in and continue to do so. So we'll do that later in the show. We'll get to the games from last night. Only three on. Quite a historic game. Quite a historic moment there with Steph Curry. But guys, before all of that, another wedgie. Yes, wedgie number 14. And we were fortunate enough to have on the Nets broadcast Ian Eagle and our good friend Sarah Kustok. Take it away.
Flynn, a three. Oh, a Canadian wedgie.
Is this your first wedgie of the season?
It is. I had all of this wedginess built up inside me.
I'm not going to touch that. Shout out to the former starters, now the No Dunks crew, because I know that's their favorite, along with your favorite.
I love those guys. I really love those guys. I love what they did prior, what they're doing now. I honestly believe I was saying it before they were ever on the air.
This wedginess goes way back. Oh.
And I'm not even insinuating that they ever would have taken. I believe like they took it and ran with it, and they may have
like
came
finish?
Up with it.
Or yeah. Man's Jam?
And it's not.
You need to start copywriting these
and
things.
I don't care.
Make some money off of it.
I'll share with the people. And I was saying this back in other network days.
Other network days. What a call there from Eagle. Up to 14 on the season if you're keeping track. Well, if you're not, just go to wedgietracker.com. They're keeping track. On pace for 46. That's a... going up a little bit more here because we've had a couple over the last couple days. What a call though, Tass, from Eagle and Kustok there.
Amazing call. And the feeling is mutual, Ian Eagle. We love what you're doing now and what you used to do in your previous days. And you are exactly right. Others have said it, like you, and we popularized it. That is bang on. And that is exactly what we said on Monday. We just took it and ran with it. And one day it's going to be in the box score. There is going to be a column that reads wedgie. And that may be my greatest accomplishment in life, our greatest accomplishment. We're going to tell the kids, going to tell the grandkids if that happens. Wedgie, right there. It's exactly the truth. We didn't make up the word.
Right. But Ralph Lawler did.
We ran with it. Well, yeah, I think it was Ralph. I say Ralph. Ralph is older than Ian. Yeah, he's the one. He's retired now. He's over 80. I think he's the one who did it. And Ian Eagle ran with it. He didn't come up with the word, but he's sharing. Like, yeah, we're all sharing.
Like Sean says, Curry didn't invent the three-pointer. He revolutionized
Perfect.
It. That's the wedgie to the No-Dunks crew. Spot on, Sean. I will say, how do you feel about him calling it a Canadian wedgie from Flynn? It's a Canadian team, yes, but not a Canadian man.
That's okay.
I got a problem with it.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah, I do.
You got
I
a problem
do.
With a guy saying
Absolutely.
Canadian wedgie?
He's not Canadian. Why is it a Canadian wedgie?
It's from a Canadian team. Oh. Those are Canadian hands. He's a resident of Canada. He lives there.
Permanent well, let's resident? Ask the, let's ask, I don't know, he's got permanent residency or something in Canada. Lee Ellis, you were talking before we went on the air. What's your visa status
yeah.
in Canada? What do you think, Mr. Canadian?
Well, it's a Canadian game, so it technically is a Canadian wedgie, isn't it, really? I mean, I think that's the thing with it. I just think that energy and the ability to just talk on and on and on, and Sarah gets in on it as well. Is it too much to ask that we get that from other commentators as well? Appreciate the wedginess.
Yeah,
I mean,
I respect the No Dunk shout out from Sarah Kustin.
Yeah,
that's
of course, big of time, course. Yeah. But you know, the energy Ian brings to any broadcast is always great, and he just really hits home just how important the wedgie is. It's unique. It is like a snowflake.
Will Ian have the same energy for the next one? Because as he said, that was his first of the season, yep, and he had all this wedginess built up inside him. I had all this wedginess built up inside me, and then. Yeah. He got one. So congrats to Ian Eagle, one of the greats. Oh. Passing it on to Noah Eagle, also in the broadcast game, his son. He'll be carrying on the wedgie tradition, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm with you, though, Lee. At this point, we need to, like, start shaming broadcasters that don't at least say wedgie when it happens.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
like, I mean, Scalabrini. You don't gotta say us. You gotta say wedgie. You gotta call it what it is.
Especially if you're in the club, like Scalabrini is in. He knows what a wedgie is, and he just missed it the other day by going on a boink. I mean, that's a suspension, a one wedgie suspension.
I like it.
Put him in the wedgie protocols.
All right, well, let's get to the games because Steph Curry set the NBA record. He did it for three pointers made, at least in the regular season. He already has the one where he's hit the most three-pointers of all time when you count the playoffs, but he's got it. He's got the record. Warriors beat the Knicks. Tass, I don't know about you. I thought this was pretty damn cool how they handled the historic moment, the milestone moment there in MSG. What do you think?
Yeah, didn't see it coming, but I love the moment. And I love the type of basket as well. The fact that he gave it up before he crossed half court and then ran off the ball. It wasn't a, hey, I'm bringing it up and I'm doing this thing, because that's what Curry has made his name on, giving up the ball. He's not a typical point guard. And then he comes and he gets it. The selfless superstar, that's what he is. So it's good to see that he got it like that. Great to see that it came from Andrew Wiggins, a guy who never passes him the ball.
That's
really,
a Canadian record.
Sure. Canadian record.
That's right.
Is Andrew Wiggins Canadian? I guess so.
I mean, he's sort of just borderline, to be honest.
He's on the border. Is he a resident? Who knows? But Andrew Wiggins never passes Steph Curry the ball. He's only had 10 assists to Steph this season through nearly 30 games. And Draymond Green really, really, really wanted it to be him. And so that's what makes it great. Green said after the game, he said, quote, Wiggins never passes on that play. So great to hear Draymond a little upset. And Curry said, I think that's the first time Wiggins passed it to me on that type of play. So good stuff. And then, yeah, the play stopped. And I didn't know whether or not they just stopped the play as in the scorekeeper stopped the play or what happened, but Steve Kerr intentionally fouled and then called a timeout, and then apparently the league extended the usual 2.5 minute break to 3.5 minutes, according to our Anthony Slater, give it a little extra time there, and then the 3.5 minutes, I enjoyed it thoroughly. I didn't know what to expect, but yeah, I loved seeing Mom, I loved seeing Dad, Del Curry, his new haircut. He got the game ball. Del looking great with that haircut.
He's
and then
back on the market.
Yeah, for sure. And then, Steph just hugging everybody again. The accessible superstar. He even gave Jordan Poole a hug, who was looking for a hug. Jordan Poole just got in there the last second. Steph's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about you. I'll give you a hug, too. That was I enjoyed it. I don't know how you guys felt about 3.5 minutes, because usually the play goes the other way. Like when Ray broke Reggie's record, the play went the other way and Kobe took it to him on the block. But how do you guys feel about 3.5 minutes of Steph love?
That was special last night. Come on, it was cool seeing it in Madison Square Garden with all of the previous record holders there. And I love, like, the kind of building of the record over time with Steve Kerr being there for all of them. Back in the day when Reggie Miller broke it originally, he's like, we didn't even do anything. Nobody knew that he broke the record. Even Reggie was like, that's just what it was back then. I was the one who was making threes. Nobody cared. When Ray Allen did it, it was a huge celebration, but play continued, like you're saying, Tass. We got a Kobe Bryant post up after that. Eventually, the game was stopped. But here, Steve Kerr sat through two of them. He said, we got to make this special because this is Steph Curry. Go out there and foul immediately so we can get this game stopped. And then the party was on. It was cool. It'd be like if Michael Jordan set the record for most fadeaway jumpers or Dirk Nowitzki set the record for most one-legged shots, right? Like, this is Steph Curry's signature shot.
Right.
Now he holds the record, and now we get to see what kind of crazy number he eventually puts up at the end of his career. They gave him that jersey with four numbers on it afterwards. Even he started laughing when he saw that. He's like, oh, nice, 2974, that's special. The numbers are going to, like, wrap all the way around the jersey by the time this guy's done.
Lee, you got your jersey on there.
Mm-hmm.
Were you as emotional as Steph Curry was? That actually surprised me. Like, he was, like, the scream, like, after he obviously hit it over Alec Burks there, the record-breaking one early in the first quarter, and then the tears eventually there on the bench. I guess I just wasn't expecting that from him. It meant a lot. Were you doing the same in your living room last night?
No, there was no tears, but there was a big smile on my face. I was really happy to see him do it because, you know, he is the best shooter we've ever seen. He has changed the game. He's done so much for just revolutionizing the way the three-pointer is shot. So it was great for him to do it in Madison Square Garden, I thought. I mean, he said as well, outside of his home arena, of course, there in San Francisco, where else would be better than Madison Square Garden, New York City? And he had all the eyes of the NBA and the sports world on him last night. And the three that he hit was a classic sort of Steph, you know, maybe not one you teach the kids, but he's changed it so that that is a normal shot for him. So it was great. But yeah, I was also a little surprised just how sort of, you know, at the outpouring of emotion, but I guess he's been building up towards this for the last, you know, really the last couple of weeks. And so it was really cool to see. And I did think the NBA and TNT did a pretty good job of just like, okay, let's just pause everything here for a couple of minutes. Let's not go crazy, but let's respect the moment, appreciate it. And Reggie Miller got his phone out. I tweeted it was like Shaq from the 2000 All-Star game, you know, with his camera. Reggie had his own phone there. And Ray Allen, surprisingly, went with a turtleneck last night. I thought that was a pretty big, a pretty bold move there.
You were shocked by that, were you?
Yeah, but
looking like Lee Ellis in a pizza joint.
But yeah, it's cool that it's now sort of out the way, and it's just a matter of how far ahead he will be of the next guy by the time he retires. And he said he hopes he puts enough distance that no one ever breaks it. But and you know where we sit today, maybe they won't. But I think as we've seen with pretty much all these records, it'll be overtaken by I think Donovan Mitchell and Trae Young, guys like that, are actually sort of ahead of where Steph was at the same part of his career. So it is quite possible that this record will last for 10, 20 years, but eventually it probably will be broken.
Yeah. James Harden actually has more threes at this point than Curry had at the same age.
Right.
Which is a little weird, but he's really slowed down here, at least since joining Brooklyn. And I don't think we'll keep up a torrid pace, like enough to pass Curry, but he's going to be very high when he retires. He'd probably be, you know, whatever, second or third when it's all said and done. I saw Kevin Pelton was trying to crunch the numbers, Lee, and he said this. I think this is right. Let's say conservatively that Curry plays another five seasons. And let's just say he retires around 39, so in 2027. Right. And let's say he plays about 80% of those games that if he's still with the Warriors. If that's the case, and he continues sort of on his average of what he does in a game, he's probably going to flirt with like another 1,500 more three-pointers. So we're looking at ballpark 4,500 threes made. I know we've thrown around the idea. Could he get to 5,000? Mm. Yeah, of course he could. I mean, he could play probably until he's like 45 with what he does. And just throw him in a corner there for a couple of games and watch him knock him down. But yeah, that sounds about right to me. Like between 4,000 and 4,500 threes. And then, yeah. Who will be? Will it be a Trae Young? Will it be someone we don't even know yet because they just come in shooting way more? I'm with you that it eventually will be surpassed, but I think it's going to be one. It's like a Babe Ruth Gretzky-like record where it's like, wow, that's shockingly high or very difficult. But, you know, all records eventually get broken, and this one will. But Trey, watching this, I kept thinking of you because you kept saying, I don't remember a damn thing about Ray Allen breaking Reggie Miller's record. But yeah, it sounds like this one more memorable to you, and maybe this will stick with you a little bit longer, how they celebrated it, of course.
I thought it was 100% more memorable. Maybe it's just the fact that it's 10 years later and everything is kind of blown up a little bit more 10 years later. But I also think it's a, we're talking about a top 10, probably top 5 player in NBA history, right? And that's why I think it's a little bit different. You know, this is Steph setting a career record as one of the all-time greats, not just at shooting. He's just one of the all-time greats, period. Like, so is Ray Allen, but Ray Allen didn't win a couple MVPs, right? This is Steph doing what he does best. And like he even said, I wasn't going to call myself the greatest shooter of all time until I had this record. Now that I do, I'm going to put it on my shirt. I'm going to put on my hat. And I'm going to tell basically everybody at all times. It was awesome. It was really cool to see. And like y'all are saying, he was fired up to do it. And that was the cool thing to me, was like, once it finally got down to a manageable number where it wouldn't have to be a crazy hot shooting night, you know it was going to come easily. So it happened right away. And of course, he was fired up. And who wasn't? Like, that was awesome to see. Everybody was excited for that one. Pete Davidson was going nuts. John Stewart was going nuts. I'm sure they were cracking jokes over there. Fun times in the Garden.
And Spike Lee was on the floor behind Steph Curry taking photos of him. Yeah. This is, we're showing it to you on YouTube. He literally got on the floor on his butt to get a low angle shot of Steph's back as Steph showed off the jersey in the postgame interview. Speaking of the Ray, Reggie, Curry jersey photo op that they had there, they threw down the three jerseys. Reggie threw his Pacers jersey down. Curry had the 29-74, and Ray had his Celtics jersey down. Do you think Ray loved that part of it? Like, would Ray pick?
Interesting.
I guess he.
I mean, he broke the record. I guess.
Yeah, that was the thing. He had to put the Celtics jersey because he did. But I don't know if that was his. Would be his choice. I'm just wondering. I don't
did
know.
You
I'm
see how long Reggie's jersey was?
Yeah. That was a long one.
Holy crap. I would have loved to see Tass Mellis tuck that one in. It would have taken you days to tuck all of it in. It was so long.
Yeah, it's so long. I just looked at my Jorge Garbajosa photo recently of my jersey down to my knees. Those things are huge. And I'm not... Reggie's must be huge because he's obviously... You know, he's larger than Trey Kirby. I mean, that's how big is that jersey? That's like a plus 7 inches going down to his knees. It was just a wonderful, wonderful moment.
Yeah. Did y'all check out Spike Lee's Instagram? Because that picture he took, it actually turned out pretty good. Yeah, and he's got like almost 29,000 likes. So
worth it.
Totally worth it.
Well, yeah, I saw people on Twitter saying it was like the hot influencer. It was like the boyfriend taking the photo on the beach or whatever at the restaurant. Like, you really got to work for it, get those angles. But everybody was excited. And the Warriors went on to win this game. Go ahead, Doug.
Yeah, I will say the one thing that Draymond Green mentioned after the game, and when I saw the team shot after the game, he said the only thing they regret is having no Klay there. He's not joining them, I guess, on the road right now. So that was the only crappy part to him. But we've talked numbers. You talked those Pelton number crunchers. But I want to talk just one more number, because I was surprised by seeing almost 3,000 threes. Number one guy who's assisted on his baskets, you'd kind of know, I guess, if you think about it for a sec. Who is it who's assisted on Steph's baskets?
Draymond,
number one. Okay. 479. So it's kind of like, it's spread out by a lot of guys, actually. Yeah. Who's number two?
My number two man, number two.
Number two?
Andrew Bogut.
No.
Iguodala.
Iguodala.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, far behind with 300. I'm not going down any further on the list, but Green and kind of surprising. Iguodala, it must be spread out by a lot of guys.
I wonder how many Clay's got, because once Klay gets the ball, it doesn't really get passed back to anyone.
How's Klay going to beat Curry's, you know, three-point record? Right. He's passing it to Curry. No, you got to shoot those yourself. I also saw a task that you brought up, those two guys, Draymond and Iguodala. Curry bought them like Rolexes, just being longtime teammates, and a thank you, I guess, for all those assists to set him up. Isn't it a thing, though, like half of Curry's threes are, I mean, it's almost half of his threes are unassisted? Which is the wild part. I mean, that's really the revolutionizing of the game. I mean, Ray and Reggie, I mean, this is coming off passes for the most part. It's Curry's ability, Lee, to do it off the dribble and off and 5 feet behind the line, where that's the difference maker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Steph's definitely in the last 5 or 6 years become the guy, like, you got to pick him up at half court because he can just knock that shot in as a regulation shot. And actually, Kenny Smith talked about that on TNT. He's saying he really split it up. And he said, I think Reggie's the best catch and shoot three that we've ever had. Catch and shoot 3-point shooter. He said Ray Allen's the best off one dribble. and then Steph's kind of the best of everything. Wow. But, I mean, I can sort of see the point he was making like that because, yeah, Reggie was a shooter rather than a point guard. And then Ray Allen was also like a catch and shooter. But Steph, being the point guard, doing all that work off the dribble, hadn't been seen before to the effectiveness in which he's been able to change it. And, you know, again, I think probably the most memorable three still for me, not in the playoffs, obviously, but in the it was that Oklahoma City game where he hit that one, you know, from just inside half court. I mean, I think that's the one that really separated Steph from everybody else, that wasn't just a wild shot. That was like what the shot that he really brought to the game and changed it. And now you're seeing other guys do it. You know, Lillard does it as well. Lillard sort of put himself in that conversation there with Steph the other day. But really, Steph's done it. And I've noticed other players, like Kevin Durant and Chris Paul, other good players, sort of see how easy Steph shoots those deep, deep bombs. And now you're seeing guys trying to do that and add that to their repertoire. Like Trae Young's probably the most notable young guy who's like 5-10 feet back, I'm just firing away. And it's working for him to some degree anyway.
Is Steph Curry going to go in the three-point contest in Cleveland? Or probably. Is he done with it? I thought he was done with it.
Yeah, he won it last year. He's won it twice, but he just loves it. So
he almost has to at this point. Yeah, yeah. You're the three-point champ. Yeah, and
that's his hometown. Hometown of Cleveland.
Great call.
Born in Akron.
Yeah, he's got to go in it. Okay. I brought that up because, like, what about this, Lee? Forget current players. Kenny says, "Oh, well, Reggie's the best at this part of three-point shooting. Ray's the best at this part." And Steph says, "Let's do it. Let's just get the three of them out there." Curry versus Reggie versus Ray Allen three-point contest at the All-Star break? It'd be awesome.
Three top 75 players of all time at the 75th anniversary celebration? Mm.
Done.
Yeah. It would be foolish to not do this. They should do a regular three-point contest, and then they should do a Legends contest as well.
Well, they've got to be a little careful. Remember the Legends one they did 2 years ago? It didn't go all that well. Remember they had Del Curry, they had Glenn Rice, I think it was. I think they had Mark Price, and I think Dell hit the first three, and then they all just clanked them around.
That's part of the 3-point contest?
I don't even remember.
It was
I do not remember that.
Yeah, check it out. I remember it because I was like, I could have. You know, we were still at TNT at the time.
I mean, thought you were going to be in it?
Well, Dell had two racks. I was thinking
we
maybe
can't
you
even
could
get
just,
in a celebrity All-Star.
Talking about some other network days, eh?
Yeah, but I was excited for that. It's like the old guys, they don't forget how to shoot, but they forgot how to shoot.
They do. All right.
Just last point here, what you're saying there, like about Pelton there with the numbers, that's right. I mean, that would basically take him from where he is now and add a third to what he's already done, or half of what he's already done on top of it. And I think the way that he's kept himself in great shape, remember, he overcame those injuries, those ankle injuries, to the point where, because a lot of people, actually, I'm sort of getting a bit of a tangent here, you know, clowning on David Kahn, saying, you know, why didn't you draft him? But remember, the Warriors basically traded him to the Bucks too, until the Bucks said, we don't trust those ankles, give us Monte Ellis, and they did. So, it's easy to dunk on guys now, but it's not as though everyone else just knew Steph Curry was locked. I mean, the Grizzlies took the beat at number two. I mean, how long did they even last in the league? So, anyway, back to my original point. The way that Steph...
You're dunking on everybody, and the Legends.
I'm just saying, but...
Mark
but
Price,
that,
trash. Hashim the beat, trash.
Damian Lillard, not a good three-point shooter.
The way that Steph overcame those doubts and those injuries to the point where now he's, like, in incredible shape. I think he can go for so much longer, and that shot's only going to get better with him, so... I guess more than 1,500 more in him.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. I mean, it'd be pretty cool if he got to 5,000. That's a cool number. Put that on a jersey. By the way, you don't need the comma on the jersey. Why'd they put that in?
Never put a comma on a jersey.
Don't need to put that on. No.
You don't need to put it on. It's four digits.
No, you don't
you
need
can
it
figure
at all,
it out.
But definitely not on a jersey.
Never.
Yeah.
Anyways, I like the Legends idea because this isn't, I don't think it's Del Curry-ish. I don't remember that three-point contest, thankfully. Oh. I'm a basketball sicko, but thankfully I don't remember that deep. But I think like a Ray, Reggie, they're always posting about working out. They're always running.
They're still in shape.
Reggie's on the bike. These are young legends. Mm-hmm. Those young legend. Call it the young legends instead of the old ones because then you forget about it. I forgot about that contest. There's a three-point contest.
I don't even
contest.
Know
It was only 2 years ago.
Still,
it was only two years ago.
So
it was
in Chicago, you're saying, or in 2019? In Charlotte?
It's 2019. Maybe. It was in Charlotte. Ray Allen, Glenn Rice, and Mark Price were in it. I thought there was someone else,
are
too,
you? Did this air Dell on television?
Yes, yeah. They raised $35,000 Yeah, so they went 6 for 25. 6 for 25, and Dell finished 2 for 10. Mark Price made 1 for 5, and Glenn Rice made 3 for 5. So, yeah, it was a bit of a dud, to be honest. Unfortunately,
okay. Well, people seem to be liking the idea here. You know, add Korver and JJ Redick into the mix too. Lee, you're all right with that, or anyone else you want? Let's throw Larry Bird in it. Larry Bird. Well, maybe that should be a new event. Bird versus Bird.
Yeah. You have to go up against somebody with your same name. Steph versus Dell. Gary versus Larry. I don't know what else we got.
Okay. Well, anyway, anything from the game itself? It's sort of forgotten. Nah. Yeah, you know, Warriors went on to get the victory. Knicks lose again. Okay, well, let's keep moving then. Two other games on last night. Sort of wild what happened in this one. We had two other overtime games. We'll start with the Nets. Shorthanded, forced overtime, and they beat the Raps 131 to 129. Trey, notes from the Nets victory, besides, of course, the wedgie.
Yeah, I wasn't worried about the Nets at the end of yesterday's show when you mentioned that DeAndre Bembry was going to be out of the lineup. But an hour before tip, pretty much, the Nets found out they were going to be missing James Harden and Bruce Brown in health and safety protocols for a grand total of 7 Nets who went into COVID protocols within 24 hours. Not great for Trey Swervey in the pick'em payoff, but after some debate pregame about whether he would play on a sore right ankle, Kevin Durant did suit up for the Nets, and when you've got KD, you've got a chance. In 48 minutes, Kevin Durant went out and played 48 minutes after maybe not playing this game. He put up 34, 13 rebounds, and 11 assists. Just a random game in December against a team that, you know, it's going to be playing hard. You're shorthanded, almost didn't play, 48 minutes, a triple-double. That's MVP stuff. We've seen it a lot of times in the NBA where you come into a game, you don't have your full lineup, and that kind of allows all of these random role players to play real loosey-goosey and have some big performances. That happened last night. Patty Mills, he wasn't even sure if the Nets were going to be playing this game. Instead, he ends up dropping a season-high 30, 16 in the fourth. Hit 4 threes, including the game tire to force overtime. 6 of the 8 Nets who ended up playing finished in double digits, including David Duke, 10 and 13 in his first career start. I've heard of him. That's an impossible name to forget. Had not heard of Kessler Edwards, though. Who? No. Kessler Edwards, a rookie from Pepperdine. His first real game in the NBA. He's played a couple before, but played about 4 times as many minutes last night, putting up 40 minutes. Went for 17 points and 10 boards in his first real extended run. Every NBA player is good, is one of my theories. They just have to have the chance and the confidence. Yep. And, you know, if you're going out there, you know you're not getting benched. You can take whatever shots you want. Go for it. It seems to work. This was a fun game and a nice win for the Nets. Afterwards, Kevin Durant was, like, fired up to get to play with all of these rookies and these guys who haven't really gotten a chance to run in an NBA game. So, I don't know. Seems like the kind of win that can bring you together and, as long as the Nets are able to get a little bit healthier down the road, maybe they found some players who were able to give them a couple of minutes here and there down the line.
Yeah, unbelievable performance from Durant. I fired up Basketball Reference's MVP tracker this morning, Lee. I was convinced that KD would have gone up a spot or two after that game last night with the monster line, but he didn't. Durant right now, this is how crazy the league is. He's sitting 4th in their MVP tracker. It's still Jokic, Curry, Giannis, and then KD, but my God. I mean, you've said it a million times, Lee. It's like, yeah, if he's playing, the Nets can win. Like, it literally is the definition of like, yeah, I got KD and give me 4 random guys. Sort of. And not to shit on Patty Mills and stuff like that, but like, that's basically what we're at with this guy. He's that incredible.
Yeah, where's Patty Mills on that MVP tracker after another 30 points?
He's below Jared Allen.
No, but that is the thing. Like, Kevin Durant is just that that good. And last night, he also didn't just try to overtake the game where he's like, well, I'm going to have to score 50 tonight. He did try to get other guys involved by showing them, you know, trusting them by passing the ball and getting them touches. And I think that's what a leader does. He's like, these are my guys. I've got to make them feel that I need them to play their best tonight. And they did. And Patty hitting the 3 was great. And I thought, I mean, I'm going to be the old man yells at cloud here, but I thought Freddie Van Vliet's last shot there was a bad one. You just don't need to run the clock down to hit that shot as the buzzer's going off. Just get a good shot. And I don't think he did that. So a little bit critical there of the Raptors because they should have won this game. They led big after coming back in that third quarter and then blew it. And then in overtime they led and they also blew it from there. So this was one that the Raptors should have won sheerly by the amount of, better depth they had. But in the end, Patty and KD took the Nets home and got a good win for them.
Tass, yeah, what'd you think of Van Vliet's attempt? And what do you think of the Raptors going through Van Vliet at end of games? Because I don't love it. And I love Fred Van Vliet, but I think that's asking him. You're asking him too much from this guy to create these shots in final seconds. And they've done it time and time again here. I sort of think they got to go to someone else, yeah, honestly.
The results haven't been good. Nurse was asked about it after the game. He said, it's picking us apart as coaches. What happens is the safest thing to do is not pass the ball and have a possession where you're playing iso ball.
Yeah.
Is Nurse sort of defended the move there. The results aren't good. That's watching it. It's not fun to watch. I think they can run a little something where you get a pass. You know, they're not going to turn it over. I mean, that's basically what he's defending. What he's saying is under immense pressure, any pass can go out of bounds. But you got to believe in Fred's ability to make a pass, you know, or something like run a play.
Yeah. You know?
Misdirection, something.
It's difficult for a guy like Van Vliet to like create his own shot in an iso situation is the truth. Just because of his size. Yeah.
I hear you. But on the other side of things, they've got a player who's getting taller, apparently. Nurse said that Scotty Barnes is 6'10 now.
Oh!
Well, he's getting bigger!
He was great. He played great.
Oh, my God, did he ever play great. He was going right at Kevin Durant. And as far as the Raptors go, you know, we're riding this roller coaster here. But this season really is about Scotty Barnes and him being the guy that they hoped when they drafted him above Jalen Suggs, not to go back to the draft, because I think that's a little unfair to Jalen Suggs. He's been injured, but you had to have faith at that point if you're a Raptors fan, because as Kevin Durant said after the game, this is a championship organization that he was playing against. Love that quote. Love seeing it. I know it's literal. Yeah, they just won a championship, but it's so great to see Kevin Durant respect the other side of the ball. And, yeah, Scotty Barnes, I mean, he's the king of dinkers and dumpers. Like, he was going into the lane like a 14-foot dink shot, like almost at the free throw line. a push shot while he kind of was, you know, turned to his side, turned to the hoop. So he was, you know, kind of midway into a hook, but it ended up being a push dink that he wasn't squared up for. The guy is... he's just got a great feel for the game. He's a big who blocks shots. And then, yeah, on the other side, the Nets, yeah, as Trey said, yeah, can they rally around this thing? I loved how Blake Griffin dove late in this game. Like, he just sprinted. You know, Blake, one of the eight players, obviously not playing a lot this year. And then just all-out sprint and headlong dive. And Steve Nash was trying to get the crowd pumped as soon as Blake did that. Hey, look at this guy diving on the floor. So that I think it is something that could bring this team together, because KD sounded like, even though he scored 51 the other night, that he was like, this is amazing. He said, like, quote, I'm just so proud to be part of this group and play with these young dudes. And man, it was amazing to be out there. You know, this is something that can get them, you know, riled up on a random Tuesday in December. This is it is a good team win. And as Shams reported, maybe Kyrie comes back. There's not really any news about Kyrie coming back, but he's talking to Kevin Durant. They're watching film together, and they're breaking down where Kyrie could play. So who knows? Who knows if that happens? But, yeah, things are looking solid for them anyways, even though their next game may be canceled. Who the heck knows?
Yeah, that game could have been canceled last night if Kevin Durant didn't want to play. If he said, no, my ankle's sore, not playing, then it's canceled. They wouldn't have enough guys, I believe, right, Lili? So I saw you shaking your head there when Tass was talking about the Kyrie news. Yeah,
I just can't believe...
boy, do they have at it.
I just can't believe you know, in basketball, again, you can pick up injuries and miss games, you know, through just playing. Unintentional things that just happen. And you're sitting at home right now not playing because you know more than doctors and scientists to not get a vaccination that could potentially save your life. It just doesn't make any sense to me. He's in his prime right now. Kyrie's one of the most incredibly fun guys to watch play, but instead he's sitting at home making some stance that doesn't make any sense. It's just beyond anything that I can comprehend why someone who could be playing in the NBA... You know how much I would love to play one game in the NBA?
Yes.
And what I would do to do that?
That's a good idea, yeah.
And he's just sitting at home, like, you know, arms folded, like, I know more than science and doctors. And it's just beyond stupid to me.
Right. Yeah, well, maybe he'll, I guess, in theory, be getting these vaccinations and then
I'd love to know what he's waiting for.
He's still doing his own research. Yeah. Our final game here, let's get to it. Ayton returns to pace the Suns 111-107 in the victory over the Blazers. Also in overtime. Lee, notes from this one.
Well, where do you want to start here? You can either choose Chris Paul or DeAndre Ayton. They were both incredible in this one. And the chemistry and connection that those two have got right now is incredible to watch. Chris Paul had 14 assists last night. 9 of those were to DeAndre Ayton, who made only 12 field goals. And their communication on a pick and roll is so good because Ayton knows exactly where and when to set the pick, whether or not he's going to slip on it or if he's just going to sort of roll to the hoop. And then Chris Paul's passing, I mean, you just can't stop it. He can either drop it off to him, he can plop it over to him, or in other times he can just lob it into him. Because I think the defensive plan, the scheme from Chauncey Billups on Nurkic was like, okay, come out and sort of trap Chris Paul, make it hard for him to make that pass. And then, but Chris Paul would either then bounce it between the two defenders or go around them. And again, DeAndre Ayton's hands are so good. He catches everything and he finishes strong at the rim. He threw down some dunks. He had some little mid-range poppers if an extra helper came over. And then a couple of times, like Nurkic sort of dropped and Chris Paul just went deeper and deeper in and then lobbed it over the top of him to DeAndre Ayton. So this was a very, very impressive performance from those two. Having said all that, the Blazers were a real chance in this one. In fact, a couple of missed free throws here and there could have made a difference. Norm Powell missed one. Nurkic himself clanked one. And even Lillard in overtime. The game was a little bit more out of reach. He missed one there as well. So it comes down to those margins, especially for a team like the Blazers, who are just desperate for a victory right now. They played well. They came back in this game, put themselves in a chance to win it. But Chris Paul in that fourth quarter, him and Lillard, great two fourth quarter guys sort of went at it there. But Chris Paul ultimately in the extra period there in the overtime got his team over the line. But yeah, DeAndre Ayton, who actually had just come back, he played a career high 45 minutes in this game. He said he lost 10 pounds in like the two games that he had off because he was sick, which is a huge amount of weight to lose. But then he went out and plays a career high and played really, really well. So lots of good things there. I mean, again, Chris Paul, we know, is one of the best passers in the game and he can make other players better. But also DeAndre Ayton has to understand exactly how to set picks and to roll and then to finish, and he's able to do that. So it really does highlight all their great teamwork. So very good win here from the Suns. Blazers, you know, we know they're in disarray right now. They fought, they got there, but just couldn't finish it off.
Yeah, I guess Dinkers and Dumpers Tass has been replaced with Plops and Drops.
They're in the same family.
Plop, drop, and lob it.
We can be in the same family. You can dink and dump, and you can plop and drop. For sure. Family, family, family. Vin Diesel's dinked and dumped and plopped and dropped. Why'd I bring Vin Diesel in
Why
there?
Why the fuck did you bring Vin Diesel?
Well, he always says family.
What's up, family? Oh, you said Dinkers and Dumpers, or Plops and Drops is in the same family as Dinkers and Dumpers, and just saying the word family made you think of Vin Diesel.
Well, let's lay out. If you animated a dink and a dump, okay, so let's get the poo emoji and a dink. What would the dink
eggplant
emoji be?
Eggplant, maybe, I guess.
Okay. They would say they'd have little mouths and they would say family, 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 family.
The emojis would?
Yes. They're animated. They have mouths. They would say family, 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 and here comes the plop and drop emoji, and now they're family and now they're vortexing together and now all four are family. What's the plop and drop? What, like something into the water?
Water drop for sure is drop. That's
drop,
a good one.
Just straight drop.
Yeah, plop
might be the dump again.
Yeah.
That's like it's actually a Venn diagram, and then in the middle is the poo emoji.
Okay.
All right. On that note, let's take our first break. When we come back, we'll hit the beach to answer a few of your questions. Don't go anywhere.
Danielle has taken up painting, oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. from the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Back with No Dunks. Great comment here from Brad, enjoying those ad reads. I sniff all of my friends' mattresses trying to find an odor that fits me. That's right, Brad. Gotta find the right mattress odor. It's an underrated part to owning a mattress, apparently, as Tass has enlightened us. Incredible ad read there, Tass. I love it. All right, let's hit the beach, answer a few of your questions. Yeah, a little beach step in. Keep sending in your questions. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Best way to get them in. You can drop them in the YouTube comments. You can tweet them in at NoDunks Inc. I just have a question for you, JD. I hope you're actually listening.
I'm listening. Yes, I'm here.
Are you going to see the new Spider-Man movie?
Not this weekend. No. Lincoln is going. He's got some cockamamie scheme for Friday. He seems to have a line on tickets for him and his buddy. I hear it's amazing. It's like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
What? So
that's what Lincoln told me. He's very unreliable, though. I don't know.
He doesn't have sources.
Yeah, I suppose I could look it up, but I saw Jason Concepcion said it was very, very good. He tweeted, so he was. So I trust Jason. So okay. I'm very excited.
All right. I couldn't remember if. Are you a fan of Spider-Man or do you think he's lame?
Yeah. Lame? No.
I'm just asking.
Yeah. Right. No, he's. I think Lee said in one of his ad reads that Batman was the GOAT of superheroes.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, I almost jumped in and was like, what are you talking? It's Spider-Man. Spider-Man is the GOAT. Period.
Disagree. But I will say, I think there's another Batman movie coming out too, isn't there?
Well, of course there is.
Yeah, so I'm like, that's it. Unless they're changing up the whole sort of system, that's it. No more Batman, no more Superman. We've done it. What? We've done it enough. You got to stop it.
Changing up the whole system?
Like, okay.
We're retiring all the superheroes.
You can't have Batman fight Joker anymore. It's time to just mix it all up and put them together. Put Batman and Spider-Man. Let's have it off. Batman, Spider-Man in a fight and see who wins.
You're so close to being kicked off the show for... So you're talking crazy now.
Hey, what vehicle does Spider-Man have? Does he even have a
They're
vehicle?
Called webs, Lee. They're called webs.
Right.
He's a web swinger.
You know, Batman's like... He's not even a superhero. Yeah. He's a man.
He's rich. That's
right.
His power.
He is rich.
He's
you cheer for
relatable.
The rich? So's Iron Man. So's Iron Man. No,
yeah, but Iron Man's cool.
I didn't say Iron Man was cool.
Yeah. No, JD didn't say that. I agree. Spider-Man is the best Superman
out.
Spider-Man's cool, man. He's a teenager. He's a teenager out there kicking ass. And it's a little different than, you know, rich guys just putting on suits and fighting crime. Superman, Superman's got the remix. Superman's super interesting because he's Superman all the time, and his costume is that he's just a normal man. Normal That's man right. should be his name. What about Goat Man? There is not a goat-themed superhero, unfortunately. Give him the horns, Goat Man!
Sounds like it exists already. Maybe we should do... what the hell did we call that show? The draft show that we did?
Oh, that
we should
squad.
Do
squad.
Squad, yeah. Squad, we should do yeah. maybe like a superhero twist. Sure. Could be something there.
Let's do it.
Okay. Put it in the brainstorm Slack.
I got you.
Thanks, man.
Just a
I'm
quick wrap.
The squad Slack, actually.
Oh, yeah, well, we have one. A squad.
Oh, we have
slacker.
A squad. Slack.
Yeah, we haven't used it since Wednesday, June 23rd.
Oh, kill it. Wow. Kill it. We don't need it.
No, nah, it's back, baby.
just a quick wrap up. Hootsky.
Yeah.
I believe him more than Lincoln. 94% yeah. on Rotten Tomatoes. Pretty, pretty good. Maybe it's dropped off. Maybe it was 100%.
You cannot trust a Rotten Tomatoes score this early into a movie
release.
This is the issue. Especially with... JD, it's...
That's enough.
Oh, that's a... Oh, you're... this isn't the fan audience.
No, I never look at the fans. What are the
fans
now?
I was
going to
say... Well, the fans are a bunch of diehard Spider-Man geeks, so they're like, oh, of course they're going to love it, right? So it's probably 100%. That was my point, but I guess you're right. I guess this is the critics.
There's 109 reviews now, 94%, and zero. The audience score is non-existent because no one's seen it. So.
Oh, right. Oh, okay, well, give it a couple weeks, is all I'm saying, with audience score, if you do trust it. All right, sounds like it's a great movie. Let's go see it together. Let's do a film session. It. Put that in the film session, Slack.
All right, I got you. Oh, we don't even have a film session one.
No, we don't. Oh, no. We don't.
Tragic
we create one.
Yeah.
All right, I'll create one real quick.
Create one real quick. Okay, our first question. Yeah, we're on the beach. This one's from Luke. With the Grizzlies looking more and more like a playoff team, I was looking at how they can acquire a third option. One of the biggest troubles they have is rebounding when Jaren Jackson Jr. is playing the five. That led me to Harrison Barnes. He's a gettable and reliable scorer under contract, which is important for Memphis, who can guard the wing when needed and play power forward in smaller lineups. Non-sexy trade idea, but realistic? That's the question part there. What do you think, Tass? Luke got a point here. Harrison Barnes makes sense in a Grizzlies uniform?
Harrison Barnes, the Black Falcon, if I'm not mistaken, is his nickname. Sounds like a pretty good superhero.
That's true.
Get him in there. Yes, not sexy. I get that in terms of the big names. But as we've talked about, we went through a bunch of them, as Skeets did on Tuesday, in terms of the names that could move and the teams looking to make a move. Sometimes you're just not going to get a star. That's just the way the league goes. There's only a handful of stars. So if you set your sights on Harrison Barnes, more of a tier two guy who has been performing for the Kings for years, sort of under the radar, I think it is a guy who's gettable, and this would be the Grizzlies saying, we're legit now.
Right.
Instead of just us, you know, compiling young guys, we're kind of going for it. They are fourth in the West, and Harrison Barnes, we just talked about Steph Curry. He was the third or fourth best scorer, depending how you looked at it, and he played D on a championship team in 2015. So I think it would be a nice move. The Grizzlies fit. Yeah, it makes sense, I think, from Luke. And from the Kings' perspective, at some point you probably got to cash in on Harrison Barnes because you just got to – we talked about them as making moves for their big guys, but can you get an asset for Harrison Barnes here? Good contract. If you traded him for Steven Adams to the Memphis Grizzlies and the Grizzlies sweetened it with something like – don't want to go this sweet, speaking of Canada for Clark, Brandon Clark, and Adams, that would be the deal. That would make sense. I mean, is that too sweet? Is that too much for Harrison Barnes? I don't know. Maybe. Or Adams in a pick.
Yeah. I don't love giving up both bigs.
No. Yeah, I know. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. Yeah, but I don't see it otherwise because I don't see them. I don't see the Kings saying, give us four of your small contracts. They would, I think, make sense to get like one asset plus Adams because the numbers work and because the contract lengths work. But I think, yeah, the Kings can probably get something better elsewhere. I don't know if the Grizzlies want, unless they have their sights set on if they love one of the Grizzlies' young players. But I don't know about that. I don't see that happening.
What do you think, Lee? What Luke's idea here? The Grizzlies being a team that should look at a guy like Harrison Barnes.
Yeah, they've certainly had a weird season because since Ja Morant went down, their defense has cranked right up, and offensively they've been okay. So Harrison Barnes coming in there, I mean, he's one of those solid vets who you know is not going to come in and sort of expect to take all the shots and that. He'll sort of slot into a role. I think he's very professional like that. It's just what you have to give up to him because they're not a super big team. You know, I'd be very reluctant to sort of give up too much of their you know, like Stephen Adams for him, because I just think they need him. I think he, in theory, would fit there, and he's another good guy to have sort of end of games, closing them out. But that doesn't seem to be a real problem of theirs right now. But, if the Grizzlies do want to make a bit of noise, I think another veteran scorer is helpful. It's just what would they realistically give up to get him? I'm not sure they have the pieces unless they were to give up one of their younger players, which probably also wouldn't be the best thing to do for the Grizzlies right now.
How about Kyle Anderson as the centerpiece of this deal? Kyle Anderson going to the Kings. Jarrett Culver makes the deal work. He's got a team option for next season where Anderson's going to be expiring. Not getting a ton of free agents in Sacramento, but you can talk yourself into Kyle Anderson being a helpful player. He's certainly helpful on the Grizzlies. He actually plays defense. He moves the ball. That could help the Kings. I love this kind of trade because it's an actual realistic trade that can kind of happen. This is true sicko mode, throwing Harrison Barnes into a trade because, you know, Harrison Barnes is, like Tass is saying, kind of a second-tier trade target, but he's one of my favorite guys the team should be targeting right now. He's got $20 million on his deal this year, just $18 next year, does a little bit of everything, can play the four, can play the three, can get his own shot, can hit threes, plays defense, can hit a game winner if you need him to. Team should definitely be calling on Harrison Barnes.
Good stuff, Luke. Got us talking about it. Who knows if it happens, but you got the stream team chiming in as well. Yeah, I'm seeing like is Dylan Brooks and slow-mo plus second-round pick enough to get Harrison Barnes? I think the Kings would do that.
Yeah.
Whether or not the Grizzlies are saying, I mean, I think that's maybe still a little too much. But, yeah, the type of player that we probably see dealt, yeah, maybe more along the Harrison Barnes type of guy. Next cue there, Tessie.
Sup, dinky donkeys. I was catching up on last week's episodes, and as you guys were talking about Brandon Boston against the Celtics and other similar player names versus cities, I was losing my mind, and here's why. Yeah, the Clippers Brandon Boston was going off. I'm a huge NBA draft nerd, and I'm here to let you know that we are set to welcome a Caleb Houston and a Matthew Cleveland into the NBA next season. If they get drafted to the Rockets and Cavs, I will lose my mind, and so should you. Turn off, love you guys, bing bong. That's from Zach A.
Well, thank you for the info there. I did fact check them. Indeed, these are real people. And they do play basketball, and they seem to be very good at it, and they will be in the league. Would have been an issue, though, with Caleb Houston. It's Houstan. Now, what would we have done with that? Or what will we do with that? That's a tough one because, you know, we had rules. We had strict rules when it came to the last name. It's got to be the exact same as the team they're playing. But yeah, Matthew Cleveland, I guess he'll be
count
in the mix.
Count it.
Count it.
Count Houston. It's pronounced Houston, and I actually think that this guy should become a No Dunks favorite. He's a Canadian from Mississauga. He plays for Michigan. He's going to be a top 10 pick. They say he has tremendous shooting range and rebounding skills.
Wow.
This is like our perfect player here. We got to be Houston fans.
All right.
We will be stands for Houston. also, when you think about Dwayne Wade, his name is misspelt. You know, he's a Dwyane. And Antoine Jameson's was also misspelt. So we can just put this into that same bracket. Houston, just misspelt. It sounds the same. You pronounce it the same way. So it counts.
All right. But we're not counting Antonio McDice versus, you know, San Antonio. We're not doing that, as we said. But that's a first name, too. This is the last name. I like that part. Okay, I'm fine with it. We're counting it. When he hopefully scores, when our guy, Caleb Houston, scores, what was the record? What did Allen Houston have? 35, I think I said.
Yeah. Something like that,
When he was a Piston. Okay, when Caleb Houston scores 36 against the Houston Rockets, you know we're going to be celebrating, and we're going to be counting it. All right. That's the official rule, Tass. Any problems with that?
No, no.
Okay.
I'm a Houston stan. It's true. I'm looking up. Man, this guy is a baller for the Canadian national team as well.
Mm-hmm.
Doing
played
his thing
on the
for
under 16, didn't he?
Yeah, under 19, I think. Under 16. Yeah, you're 16, right. Yeah. They play young these. Then he played under 17. Then he played under 18. Then he played under 19. Yes, I think I saw him at square one in Mississauga. Yes, Caleb Houston. He's the man.
Yeah. Do you know what street he grew up on, Tass, in Mississauga?
No.
I'm just curious. Maybe he lived right around the corner from you. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, he's a little younger than I am. I didn't play his play him in high school or anything.
No.
And no.
Didn't play his older brother, maybe? Maybe as a brother.
Yeah. Maybe it's Pop.
Pop Houston?
It's true. I mean, that's scary. These guys coming into the league, Lee, they could be your son.
Yeah,
you're old.
Yeah.
Final one here. Question. Listening to the pod as usual during work on this early Monday morning, I was remembering when I first watched you guys on NBA TV, and Trey and Tass were going head to head in Rapid Fire Challenge hosted by Skeets, and I was hooked. Every time I turned on NBA TV, I hoped to catch the starters doing my favorite segment. Then I got hooked onto the podcast due to the pun gun. The question is, what's one segment from any of y'all's previous work that you would love to bring to No Dunks? Keep the classics coming. That's from Benton Anderson. That's a great name right there, Benton. Trey, you go first. Yeah, what's something that we've done, a segment we've done in our our previous network days that you'd like to see come to No Dunks?
Oh, thanks for asking, Benton. We didn't get a ton of notes from the suits in our previous network days. There was one GIF we weren't allowed to show. And as far as I remember, we only had one segment that ever got shut down, which is pretty funny when you consider a certain rebounding segment that has since been introduced. JD, roll that aged beef footage.
Back with the starters, where we're already headed to the NBA butcher shop. Yes, despite the 2017-18 NBA season not even starting yet, our butcher Trey Kirby has some tasty beefs he'd like to try and sell us. TK, what do you got over there? Ooh, some nice
I got
cuts.
Some nice beefs. This first offering, delicious center cut beef, one of the biggest beefs that we have. It's Joel Embiid versus Hassan Whiteside, guys. Little cooking tip, unless you like it softy, cook it for at least 31 hours. You guys buying this beef? This beautiful beef here is perfect one to make for someone who won't talk to you. It'll win them over right quick, but only if you let them stay around until it's done cooking. It's a petite filet. It's Isaiah Thomas versus Danny Ainge. Are you buying this delicious beef? You want a quick beef? It's the butcher's special. It's called the Clown Royale. It's so tasty, you'll be talking about it for years after eating it. It's James Harden versus Kevin McHale, and it's huge, the size of my face. You guys buying this beef?
That's the last time we had the butcher shop on our previous network. I don't know what they didn't like about it.
No, no idea.
Maybe the close-up shots of the beef getting slapped, maybe the blood everywhere, maybe me sniffing a raw cut of meat. I don't know what it was, but after that show is when the butcher shop had to get closed down. Health inspector said, too gross for
okay,
the network.
Here's my thinking with why the NBA didn't like that segment. It had nothing to do with you slapping your meat, as I say live on air there, as you smack it in the first shot. It had nothing to do with you picking up all these like cuts. What if their issue with it is like we are talking about drama, like beef, like this
for
guy
sure.
versus this guy, and they don't like each other and all that. Like, you know, the NBA is a little PC sometimes with that stuff. Like, that maybe could be the reason they're like, don't do this.
I think you're right. I think this is also, this was like the first week and a half of the season. Maybe the lights are brighter and we're kind of shining a light on players beefing.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. These are like massive stories. You know, what are we going to do? Cut out 6 minutes of our show? Of our 22-minute show? There's no chance we could fill those 6 minutes with just voices. Come on. Need some beef slaps.
So you said that was the last time.
That was the last one, yeah.
But we did it previous to that.
We had done it previous to that.
Because
sure.
you had like a bloody apron once too. I remember that.
Yeah, that was my clean one. Yeah, I cleaned up for the season.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, because it was opening week. Just got that apron cleaned, I guess. I think it was opening week. I think, we dinged in the season.
It was October 17th of, was it 2017, I think?
That clip that we just showed?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so it was an early one for sure.
It could have been opening night.
It might have been. I think that's why they were watching the show. They watched one episode of The Starters that year, and it was that one. And then, of course, it was so frustrating because they were like, just get rid of it. We don't want it. And this came down to our bosses, basically, and they're like, you got to cut it. And we're like, okay, well, why? They just said cut it. Like, okay.
Well, maybe they meant cut the beast, slice it up.
Oh, they're hungry.
You know, maybe that miscommunication.
People did get fired up in the studio though when it was butcher shop day because, like, Rick knows I'm taking me home a beef.
I was just about to ask, what did we do with all that meat? And it got cooked, right? I guess the crew took it home.
Yep. They appreciated Trey tenderizing it, slapping it, getting it all ready for the grill. Yeah, there's you know, good old Rick, his mouth was watering that whole day. Oh, can't wait to get my hands on that beef.
You would have thought we gave all of it to Dennis Scott, as Jeremy points out, to see those grill marks.
Maybe he complained. He was like, no, I'm the beef guy around here.
He had his own segment, yeah.
It was opening night. I do remember flashbacks, yeah. 17, October 17th, 2017. Yeah, and that's exactly why they were tuned in, because it was opening night.
Yep.
What do we got on our
air? See what these guys are doing.
we could have done it 100 more times, and they never would have known, because they don't. Right. They never watched it. So,
just opening night.
What are you gonna do? Okay. Stupid executives just making themselves heard to be heard. That's it.
Do you think it was a vegetarian?
It's possible. Possible. That's an interesting theory too. I like that.
But they're just like, how do they know it wasn't Beyond Beef? Maybe it was an Impossible Beef.
You buying this Beyond Beef?
It had the same ring to it. Okay, so the butcher shop coming back for Trey. What about you, Tess? What would you like to see make a triumphant return here to No Dunks? What segment?
The studio segment. Like being in a studio with you guys. Oh. That's my segment. Looking forward to it happening. It's in the works. Everybody should be excited. It's happening. We will be in the studio.
Are you breaking this news right now? Where are you?
The energy is different. Well, yes. It's not broken till it's broken. But yeah, I'm excited. So I'm going to say it. It's going to happen. We will all be in the same room. All the same beef in the exact same room soon.
That's right. Can I just say that this is a new record, because I'm looking at the doc and I can see that Lee is already prepping tomorrow's doc, and we haven't even gotten to the second break yet.
I think he did that yesterday too.
Yeah.
If I'm Hawkeyeing it, I think. Lee, were you copying pasting yesterday before the second break?
Probably. I'd like to prepare it because it's such a short transition after the show to get lunch, get this all done, and get to JD's. I've got to, if there's a little window there, I've got to start getting it ready. So.
Do you have an answer for this question?
Yeah, what about we bring back our draft lottery stuff? It's only the once a year thing, but we used to try to predict who was going to win the number one pick overall. We had some fun with that. The funniest one was the time, I think it was in balloons, where Trey popped one, and it was the tiny.
So bad.
I don't know how
that happened.
That was
very Spinal Tap, that moment. I was like, hey, this is what we want you to do. Print out all of the team names and stuff them in balloons, and then what's going to happen is Trey's going to pop the balloon, and he's going to show it to camera. And we neglected to say, make it big enough so that it can be read on camera. But
And wasn't it, didn't it just say the Chicago Bulls? Yeah. Like, wasn't the logo?
Trey's getting the pick right now. Because it is worth seeing if you're on the screen.
Yeah, I'm gonna share real quick here, JD. Sorry to throw you for a loopski, but it's got to be done.
And if you're on the stream team, go over to our social media, because Skeets, you said that I revealed it, but
look how little
the Classic Factory's been revealed. There it is.
You're even squinting at the back of it.
Make it a little smaller, please.
That is legitimately hilarious.
Now, if the network was actually paying attention to their show, this is a legit note. You should have come down really hard on us and said, what are you doing? You can't even see. You couldn't put the logo on, and you can barely read the text. You're doing a television show for for God's sakes, but they didn't. They didn't. So.
What size is that font? It's not even 12, I feel like.
No, it was an 8.
Somehow so smaller. Little. So little.
I would love to see Mark Tatum with the lottery results on ESPN where he just holds it up and everyone's like, what? And then they zoom in. Oh, okay.
You can barely see it with the zoom. Like, this is what it looked like on broadcast.
The viewers just loud in it. That's awesome.
Oh, I love it.
I love it.
JD, what about you? Do you have a segment you'd like to see come back?
Oh, you know, I like to see them all come back. I was watching the beginning of that show. Trey sent it to me this morning, and it was, I couldn't believe how frantic the opening is. You know, like, you go through the intros so fast because we only had 22 minutes. It's like, man, we should bring that back. We're like hour 10 into this show already. It was kind of, you know, 30 seconds off of it, but, it was just like so you forget the energy of live TV. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's a completely different thing. But so I'm with Tass. Like, the studio is going to be pretty cool. The energy is going to be a lot different, I think. I hope.
Just back to Benton's email. I just realized something. He called the segment that hooked him on television, he called it Rapid Fire.
Yeah, it's Crossfire.
I think he means Crossfire.
Yeah.
Well, right, we did Rapid Fire the very, very first season on TV.
Ooh.
He did not get hooked during the first season. Guaranteed.
Maybe he was hooked by Jan the Pelican. John? When Matt dressed up as the new Pelicans mascot.
That was our first show. That's so funny, man.
Yeah, that would be hilarious if that still existed somewhere. I thought it did. I thought it was one of those clips that was on Facebook or something, but couldn't find it one time.
Yeah. Orange Mamba, nothing to fear here because you say rest in peace Stream Team when the studio comes. No. Don't worry about that. Stream Team will be live and well, even though when we're all in the same studio. We're figuring some things out, but Tass is right. You're right. We did break some like sort of behind the scenes studio progress happening. You may have seen our classic factory sign that is will be hanging in our new little spot, but we're getting close. Very close, I would say, all getting in the same room and doing these insane shows.
Yeah, jump on the social medias to see the Classic Factory sign, and we'll upload that size 8 font if you're listening and you didn't happen to see it, and you want to zoom in, you want to pinch and pull and see that size 8. Yeah, have a look-see.
Did anybody go get Jan the Pelican? While we were talking, no. Let's have it for after the break. We'll take our final break. We'll do Tweet of the Night, and we'll show you, for some of you new people here to No Dunks, the first ever show, right, that we did on NBA TV as the starters. We had Matty O, well, we'll show you the photo, but Matty O dressed as a potential Pelicans mascot.
That's unbelievable.
Was it the first show?
Yeah, it was.
Unbelievable. Wow. We had 60 minutes then, or 44 minutes
to eat, that's right. A lot of time to fill.
Jan is hungry.
We'll get you the photo. We'll take our break, and we'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, back with the No Dunks crew. We have the photo of Matty O dressed as Jan the Pelican. our first show ever. We're showing it to you if you're watching here on YouTube, part of the Stream Team. That's that's our buddy, Matty O. We were doing an hour show. This is a funny bit. It's a great idea. And I thought Matt killed it, I remember, as like this disgruntled sort of mascot. Mm-hmm. JD, do you have any other memories from this, again, first show, that first scene?
It's probably the loneliest I've ever felt, being in the control room. And our first show, so maybe like the crew itself plus, you know, executives and just looky-loos, dead silence, like awkward. What are these guys? Who are these guys? What is happening right now? It was brutal. But pin drop, like bomb. Like it was our biggest bomb of all time. Like, honestly.
Isn't that sneaky genius then to do it in the first show so you can only go up from there? I mean,
sure, yeah. But you know, like it was definitely a big swing. I remember that, and I remember like we need a chicken suit, like we demand a chicken suit or whatever the hell he was dressed in, and they're like, what are these guys doing? And yeah, it was just like, yeah. I mean, the mask was hilarious. It's like I don't even know where this came from. It's like,
I don't know.
Party City, probably. Yeah.
It's from Eyes Wide Shut, as the stream team is saying. Yeah.
I love the fish he's carrying.
Yeah.
He's also barefoot.
I just love his attitude, too. Like, it's very funny. Like, the clip itself is very funny. To set it up, it wasn't the idea, like, the Pelicans hadn't shown us their real mascot yet. Like, their new mascot. So we had the exclusive look at it. You know, that was what we were playing up. And then...
Yeah. We teased to it all show. This is going to be revealed. This is an exclusive. And then it's Matt in this costume. I mean, it's funny on paper.
Wasn't Matt, though, off to the side at those first few shows? So, like, did he get changed during a commercial break?
He must have, yeah.
Right. Wow. Classics, and that big empty studio as well just made it even stand out even more. There was
also, we didn't really react to it because we didn't know how we were supposed to react to it. It was very flat. But then the funniest part is him saying his name, and we keep trying to say, are you saying John the Pelican? And he keeps saying Jan, but it sounds
just doing
like John.
An accent for no reason.
That's by far the funniest part.
we gotta find the clip somewhere. The clip must exist, not just the photo.
It'd be on Facebook if anywhere, but I couldn't find it one time. Yeah.
All right.
The lost season. Some gems in there, maybe.
So that's when we were doing an hour show, like Taz said, and it's before we had the show going up to YouTube. So that's why it's very difficult to find that actual clip.
I did come across a rare photo from Matt's perspective in the studio for that first week.
Okay.
Like him looking at us, and I just, so weird. That was weird to me. But I can't seem to find it now. Like the Jan the Pelican, that photo, gone. What a. I'll find. Yeah, that's weird. Our first year. It's like our first season. Didn't happen.
Yeah.
And we're all better for it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We're all stronger.
All right, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Yeah, Tweet of the Night. JD, interested to see where you go with this one because, I don't know, as of 2 hours ago, you didn't have one.
Yeah.
So.
Well, shocker, I still don't have one. I had a hell of a morning this morning. I was driving. I caught in Atlanta traffic. This never happens. On my way to Avondale Estates. Now, and I was like, God damn it, I got to get back. I'm not looking at my phone while I'm driving or anything. So I knew I had to find a tweet. Then I was on my way to Avondale Estates, as I say. And in Avondale Estates, it's important because in that neighborhood in Atlanta here, you're allowed to drive around on a golf cart, basically, like a motorized cart. It's kind of it's kind of weird. It's kind of cool. I don't really get why you would want to, but people definitely do it. And as you're entering Avondale Estates, there's a sign warning you that, hey, you may come across some of these motorized carts. And I took a picture of it because there was just this genius little piece of graffiti. Lincoln pointed it to me out, actually. And if you look at the picture, somebody has taken the C in carts and just replaced it with an F. And I was like, well, I don't have to worry about Tweet of the Night anymore because this is what I'm using. So shout out to the genius who simply replaced the C with an F. Motorized farts in use. Love it. Absolutely. Could it have been?
Could it have been Jackson, and he just wanted some play for it?
It's possible. I don't know. Well, actually, maybe, because he does go to school in that area, and he was very like, "Ooh, check it out! Check it out!"
That's what I'm
saying. Nice.
Wow, I can't believe. Yeah, there's a sign that tells you that they can do it in Avondale Estates.
That's right.
Weird. So you're not. I guess you're not legally allowed to do it anywhere in Atlanta.
Honestly, I don't.
You can't do it everywhere.
Can you?
I don't think you're allowed to.
I don't know.
You can in Inman Park. People are driving around on golf carts all over the place.
Okay.
Yeah, but I thought they could only do it, like, legally do it during, like, those festivals and stuff like that. I thought there was something about that.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway.
Motorized farts in use. What's a motorized fart sound like? that's why I asked.
Well done.
Yeah. Really good stuff. Pick'em results. Brought to you by BetMGM. Last night's game, the Raptors in Brooklyn to take on the shorthanded Nets. Nets were favored by 8.5 when we made the pick. You said, Lele, that line changed. It got reduced drastically once the Harden news came across the wire. But we had 8.5. A lot to play with. Three of us took the Raptors. Trey swerved, took the Nets. So that's a rare loss for Trey. He's 8-2. Tass and Lee improved to 5-5. You guys are 500. And big news is the coin was finally right.
Oh!
Because I also had the Raptors, and they covered, losing in overtime. So I'm 2-8. I'm way behind these guys still. I need a game or two here. Tass, where are we going?
Big night in the association. I think a kind of a big game for these Portland Trailblazers. I know they had a good loss, if you can call it that, against the Phoenix Suns yesterday. They host the Memphis Grizzlies tonight, a team that they should have to jump over if they're going to make the postseason. It's right. A small line, -1.5 at home for the Portland Trail Blazers. They didn't have to travel, even though it was back-to-back for them. So that's, I think, why we're split here. They had a good loss, again, against the Suns. It went down to the wires, so that's why Lee and myself are taking the Blazers. Skeets and Trey with the Bears tonight.
The Bears!
Yep. Taking the Bears on the road. This is once again the coin here, so let's see if the coin can string together a little winning streak and try and gain a game, especially on Lee, who I won't be gaining a game on Trey regardless. We both got the Bears, so we'll see. Grizzlies, they can lose by one, otherwise the Blazers have to win by 2 or more points to cover for Tass and Lee. All right, we'll call it there. Fun show as always. Another classic. Since day one, since Jam the Pelican. Classic. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok @NoDunksInc. Grab yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. Go to nodunks.com. Get your NoDunks merch. And yes, it is the season finale of Survivor 41. Who will win this bad boy? We will have a new No Buffs episode breaking it all down tomorrow on Thursday in the afternoon at some point. Alongside Jason Concepcion talking about that. So, yeah, a lot of games on tonight, Trey. Finale of Survivor. I mean, stock up on energy, man.
Sorry, but I'm not a basketball fan tonight. Hate to say it, 3 hours of Survivor. Bulls are postponed. They didn't have a game tonight anyways, so I'm 100% on the island tonight. I'm an island boy.
Oh, no, don't do that. All right, so we'll be back, though, to talk about basketball on No Dunks here tomorrow in the No Dunks feed and Survivor in the No Bus feed later in the day. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, borrowing this from Q Ferg in the stream team. As Q Ferg says, no name can be misspelled.
Embrace the day, people.
You could stay.